Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
All right, I'm here with another Cleveland legend, Steve Makita from Apartment 213, Lockweld, Makita Power Electronics, scogging legend, professional scogger, and now pastor. So a wide range of interests you have, and a wide variety of polarities you're working with. They have Apartment 213, very aggressive dark energy that counterbalanced with what you have in Makita Power Electronics, and now your religious endeavors. Super cool to have you with me. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Tell me where you're at right now.
Menifee, California. Outside. It's like I think it's gonna be 85 today.
Badass. We are lucky to have it at 40 degrees today here in nice. Maple Heights, Ohio.
Nice.
So let's talk just now. Tell me what your day-to-day is like now. You have how you balance what you're working on, everything you're working on, and then we'll go back to the beginning.
My day-to-day is waking up, seeing if, you know, what kind of ailments I'm going to have. I have Crohn's and colitis, and then I was just diagnosed with bradycardia, which is, I guess, a normal heart rate is anywhere from 100 beats to 60 beats. Mine roughly fits at 42. So that, you know, they were thinking, oh, that's because you're athletic and stuff. And I was like, dude, I don't, you know, I just skateboard every day, but I'm not like a power lifter. Clearly I'm not any form of like,
it's cardio that'll bring it down though. You're ripping cardio.
Yeah. And then, so they put me through a couple things and they're like, no, this is like not great, you know? And I'm like, yeah. Okay. So it's just a form of like when you have, you know, immune deficiencies like I do, Crohn's and all that. I had colon cancer in 06, and it all stems. I've pretty much always had gut issues my whole life. I was always sick with something.
Okay.
It's just when you're growing up in the 70s, 80s, you get a flu or cold, they give you antibiotics. Well, I've taken too many, and my poor health and due to diet and zero exercise, I quit skateboarding in the early 90s, and I went from like a little heavier than I am now. I was like 150. I went up to 280. And
Damn, man.
And just not living good and always being like anxiety ridden and just angry. I was never a drinker. I've never smoked weed. I've never done a drug in my life, but I was just, my drug was food and anger.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to that too. And for sure, I also had terrible health habits growing up that caused a lot of issues for me that, as I'm sure you're well aware, take a lot of effort to reprogram yourself, to reprogram healthy habits, and especially coming from a bad setup to begin with. Right. I know you talked about, because I read the No Echo article where you were talking about the scogging after your surgery. You said being vegan and addressing that was really helpful to you to managing that. Is that still what you're going with now?
Yeah. I mean, I do it every day. I haven't ridden in about a month because I jacked up my knee helping my kid get out of a tree once. And so they were like, you probably tore your ACL. It was like, I'll fix it. So I was doing really good. And then one day I was riding around here, and as I always do, and a car didn't see me and just kept going. So I had to jump off and pop. I felt it again. And it's so now I'm just walking every day, but I'll get back on probably next week. I was going to do the interview while riding, but it's just not there yet. I don't trust it.
I wish you could have done that. We'll find something to do where we could do that again, where you're riding.
It would be fun. But it's just like, because I have to watch the cars and everything, and I just didn't want to eat it and go, can we redo this? You know?
So, yeah, I wouldn't take it out. That'd be hilarious.
No, I think it would be great. I love when I fall. Like, it was one of my favorite videos that I was riding backwards and I hit, and you can hear, ugh. It's one of my favorite. I play it for my kid all the time. He just laughed.
Damn. So that's great. You're managing now, at least getting up and do what you can do, walking outside. I will assume the move to California was to get a bit more involved with the sun.
It was either die in the snow or die in the sun. And, you know, when I moved out here, I was 115 pounds. My aunt picked me up from the airport. She passed me three times. I was like, hey, and she was like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, it's bad. And she's like, yeah, it's not good. So I put on some weight out here, but it's nothing what I was. I'm not a physically fit specimen by any means. My mom told me I look like a, concentration camp victim, which being half Jewish is like, probably shouldn't have said that, mom, but that's my mom. But
yeah.
The lack of hair and the lack of everything. So, but out here, I'm doing night and day. When I went back east to do the 213 show, I thought July, I'll be fine. It was horrible. And the humidity almost took me out. And then when I went back in October to do Flaw Fest, I'm like, it's 66 degrees. It feels like it's 2 degrees. What the heck? I hate it here. I can't live there. I can't function there. So out here, I'm like, I have crazy arthritis. Don't even know it. I go back there. I look,
Man. I think about that all the time here. Cause it's for October to fucking April, sunshine is hard to come by.
Yeah. It's awful. And I remember having a cold from October to June.
Wow.
Yeah. Just a weird hacking cough all the time.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. So day to day now, obviously you have all this to manage. I'm sure you're working with a couple. You're obviously working with, you're working with your walking and your scogging, which is great cardio. You're getting your sunlight all the time. You're doing your vegan diet. So you have a couple, you're juggling with a couple balls right now just to even manage.
Yeah, just getting up. So after I get up, it's help my wife, take my kids to school or go to work. And I work weird hours. I work at Michael's. So I work anywhere from midnight to 10 in the morning to 5 in the morning to 1 in the
afternoon. That's your craft store?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. But I've had jobs, really good jobs that I've lost due to my health condition. They'll be like, dude, you missed days. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, that's go on disability. And I can't. Because to me, that's just tapping out. I can't do it. So every day we're praying, give me something. And finally, my wife's holding us afloat. I'm doing my part and, we're figuring it out.
That's great. You guys can figure it out. You were able to find that gig based on them being cool with it?
With the various hours? Michael's is my favorite store. I love it. I've always went there, but I didn't know why I was going in here. I'm not an artist by any means, but. My wife is the content creator for this machine called Cricut. So she thrives.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm familiar with Cricut.
Oh, yeah. She's that's why I'm out here walking. I was going to do it in my studio, but I was like, I want to be outside and stuff like that. But she's also doing a live event. Cricut launched a new machine. So she has to be a part of that. You would have heard you're hearing that awesomeness, but you would have been hearing her talk and. Just you know, crickets going off.
Yeah, yeah, that is cool. Well, that's super cool. So you're a creative family then.
Yeah, yeah. My son and I are going to record tonight.
Oh, what is that for Makita Power Electronics?
He wants to do one. His name is Carver. He wants to do a thing called Carve Dad.
Okay. Which
just sounded awesome to me. So I said, yeah, let's do it.
Power electronic stuff? Or...
Yeah, absolutely.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
How fun. Old?
He's 8.
He's 8. And what do you, what does he like to play with?
He loves my wasps. He just thinks they're great. That's his. And he has this little DJ thing. His uncle got him because his uncle's all into like hip hop and stuff. And so he gave him that. And he does his little record scratch sound and does a rhythm.
That's awesome, man.
I love it. My daughter will help too. She'll draw.
Okay. That's adorable. The Power Electronic family going down. Definitely get a video of that if you can.
I will. Yeah. He gets shy about that, but he'll sure.
Cool. Okay. So then you got a lot. So we're adding a few more balls here. You're managing your health stuff. You're working with Michaels. You're with your family. Family first.
Always.
Family guy. So, and then, but then on top of that, you do have a couple, you got some Makita shows and Apartment 213 is at least doing is it two festivals this summer?
Two festivals, yeah.
Very cool. The Endless Noise one looks awesome. That guy reached out and tried to get Hemdale on it, but I just can't get Matt to want to do the original one. Maybe he'll change his mind after seeing this and seeing what a good time his old friend Steve is having.
Good old Matt. Gotta love Matt.
I'm supposed to see him. We're going to a comedy show this tomorrow, and he's going to come.
He should be performing.
He should be performing. Have you seen his YouTube videos?
I can get through eight seconds of it, and I'm just rolling. The guy.
Yeah,
is,
no, it's like it's very advanced.
It's Matt.
It's Matt for sure. Hey,
whenever I was in a bad mood in Ohio, I'm like, I'm going to give Matt a call. And hey, we're hot. And I'm like, we're good now.
Well, to anyone watching, if you haven't explored Matt's movie time
or
any of Matt Rossitano's post-Hemdale digital Dadaist work, you'll love it.
It's great. I actually reached out to him not too long ago because him and I and Etchel, the original 213 drummer, did a thing called Razor Wire. And I renamed it Razor Wire Fun. And it's four songs of the most. It's Hemdale 213. It's
oh, I would love amazing. To hear that.
And I'm going to see if Blackwall put it out because it's really cool. It needs to come out. I want to do more. He said he was into it, and then you know, radio silence. But
yeah,
but I know he would, I know
he's dude. If you go, you went to his Instagram page. He has that weird Instagram page with like 5 followers on it.
Yeah, I love it. You.
Yeah. So anyone watching, if there's some diehard Hemdale fan watching, if you go to Matt's Instagram page, it's WaltDick007. I can link it. But he's all these songs he's recording. He has all this like one man synth project. Right. It's all party themed. Lo-fi-ish synth. If you're like a diehard Hemdale fan who just can't get enough Matt Rossitano, definitely check out this new endeavor. It's very low-key. He's got like 10 followers. You could be the 11th. Check it out if this is something I'm talking about that you're interested in. Definitely check it out. Walt Dix 007.
You can't go wrong. You'll want to quit your job and just invest your time into that.
I mean, this is not this endorsement from Makita is not lightweight. You know what I mean? Like this is a full-time Clevelander who goes way back with Matt. He would tell you if Matt wasn't on his shit with this new project.
Matt is, first of all, Hemdale are the most underrated band from America. And when I find people that are like, who are they? And I'm like, wait, you said you're in a grindcore? Yeah. No, you're not. Because you don't know who Hemdale are. You're dumb. They all know AC. They all know the heavy hitters and stuff that I think are horrible. Hemdale, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Definitely like, OG, the original Hemdale material if you're into gore grind. That's OG for sure. That's top tier recording stuff. But they never made it out. You know, they never... there's a reason why other bands were able to get out a lot more.
I get it. They fell in the Cleveland void that, we're gonna.
Never, well, and never ended up with an LP. I get people asking me, people ask me on the pages and stuff, will there ever be an LP? So that's a big barrier too, as far as distribution goes. But they were on top of that, man. For anyone into that, just it would be great if I could cover that sometime. Just Craig's visceral thing, because Craig was really on top of shit and was really forward thinking at the time. And he had Nile and a couple other bands before Relapse formed that he ended up selling to Relapse. So for anyone interested in chasing the just the lineage of that, they could have been on top.
I forgot they were before Relapse. That's how, wow.
Yeah, he had Nile and who else? He had a couple other bands before they were big like that on his label.
I forgot all about that. I forgot that he had Visceral. I forgot all. Man, that's crazy. Yeah, I remember asking Matt, what does Hemdale mean? Nothing. I was like, I love you, dude. You're literally the coolest person on the planet, because everybody's got, you know, intestinal bleeding or, whatever. And he's like, it means nothing. I'm like, that's genius.
He's always had that. He's very in alignment with Tim and Eric style personality.
I love it. It's one of a kind. It's very, not one of a kind, but it's very small in thought. That community.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
But man, it's like Norm Macdonald. Like,
definitely,
you hear it and you're like, that's awesome.
It was refreshing too, because it wasn't, I couldn't, it was great to play with him. I could not play in a metal band that like really takes the idea of being metal seriously.
No, it's absolutely hilarious to me.
Yeah, we would bum some people out. It was hilarious. We would reform. There were a couple times people came up to us before we played, because we'd be tuned super low.
Love it.
And they'd be like, oh, you guys are great. We want to get you in so-and-so. And then we play. And then afterwards, the promoters just ghost us, because they were like, that fucking sucked.
Well, it's like 213. Like, we never fit in. Like, we weren't like, I don't know. We just didn't fit into, like, never serious about anything, you know?
Dude, I was talking to Dwid yesterday. Dwid is your collaborator and... Dude, same thing. It was always in between two metal for punk guys, two hardcore for metal guys. That would have been hard for me. I'm way too just humorous and goofy. I'm not someone who's going to fucking wear a fucking bullet belt or never wear.
No.
I cannot be in a costume all the time for a band.
And it is a costume, and it is a show. And it's funny, even with like, I just read this yesterday or the day before. When I play live, I mean, I probably won't even wear shoes most of the time now, because I'm always either in sandals, barefoot, or Vans, or, you know, this municipal company I ride for. But I don't dress in the look, you know, and with Power Electronics, leather pants and the hair, I can't do the haircut. But some guy was like, well, I wonder what William Bennett from White House would think about a guy in shorts yelling like him. And I'm like, he'd probably like it, because they're all sick of like, the costume, the look, you know, it's like, dude, just whatever happened to that individuality. Like, that's why we all got into this. We didn't fit into the normal stuff. And now they're making it the normal stuff. It's like, I don't like that. That's why today punk music is stupid. It's like, I won't even go into the nonsense that I
totally.
do.
Oh, we had me and Dwid definitely touched on this yesterday, but just totally agree how you see that. You would, I always say that to people, just people on the outside of it. When I'm talking to, you know, people that don't have involvement with DIY shit, their mind is always blown when I explain some of the experiences of going through just how much conformity there is in this nonconformist subculture. Absolutely. And how authoritarian the majority of the people involved in it will be to try to enforce this conformity while also claiming that it's all about nonconformity. It's humorous for sure. And most people that have been involved recognize it.
Yeah, the older guys know it. There's the young crew that come in and they're like, you know, I remember being the young guy and knowing everything. And then about a year in, you're like, man, I don't know anything. These guys are right and they need my respect. Those are the guys that when they come in and they're like, not that I deserve anybody's respect for anything. I yell into a microphone or I make, you know, garbage truck noises and scream the Bible. Yeah. But, you know, if you're into this kind of music and there's people that have been doing it far longer than you, it's nice to be like, hey, I'm a fan, or hey, I thought you guys were great back in 95 or whatever. But to be like, this is our turn now. It's like, to do the same thing, congratulations. Here's your stage, and here's your $10 for performing tonight. None of us are making money. None of us are going to be on MTV or any of these other shows. We're just doing this for fun. This is the only art I know. I can't draw. And so this is what I do. This is how I get, like, to be honest with you, Makita Power Electronics is how I get to minister to people who would never listen to a minister. They wouldn't set foot in a church, let alone sit through it. So now they may not even know what I'm saying, but something's going on and it's going to impact them in a way, shape or form. Am I here to convert them? No, not my job. My job is to just kind of go through what my life looked like prior to being a Christian as an after. It's not all puppy dogs and kittens, but I'll tell you right now, it's 10,000 times better than being life sucks. And sitting in that, I can't sit in that anymore. It doesn't suck. It's what you make it.
Totally agree. That's awesome. And I love that. Also came out with Dwid yesterday, just talking about, you know, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about his performance from the aspect of he's not directly going for the audience's conscious mind or the audience's conventions, are definitely you guys are not people to play to audience expectations.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome that you have that fortitude where you're looking at what you want to do, and it's not it's away from any audience expectations, anything like that. You have your mission. So I definitely want you to elaborate on that. Let's go to just, we were talking about, so you have just real quick plug, you got these, is it two apartment 213 festival?
Yeah, we're doing the Endless Fest, and then we're doing the CY Fest. CY Fest is like every week there's like five new bands on it, so I couldn't list them all.
That's a huge punk fest.
I'm excited because I Hate God are playing, and Mike and I are really good friends.
Awesome.
There's a hint. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that Integrity might play, so. But I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. I opened the door for it. I hope they do, because Dwid is my mentor and my longest friend in any scene anywhere.
And I didn't know that when I went into it yesterday. So it was super cool. And he's like, dude, he's like, I do all Steve shit. I didn't realize it was him doing like all of the Makita Power Electronic stuff. So it was crazy. I ended up talking to you a day in a row.
Yeah, he is like, there's something about that dude. I've always known one, he's like the most charismatic. He's the closest to Danzig I'll ever get. And Danzig was always up here for me. So, but he's better because he's real. And he's just, the guy is the most charismatic person I've ever met in my life. And when we became friends, I was like, this is the cool. I'm friends with Eddie Van Halen, you know, like this is rad, you know, like he is my Eddie Van Halen. So, and then we got into, like, he got in and we both got into noise. We probably always liked it, but like, he always was like, just, you can ask anybody from Cleveland, and they'll tell you he's always 10 steps ahead, always. And I and some of you said that about 213, and I'm like, no, you wouldn't know us if it wasn't for him. Like, he put our record out. That guy was the one guy in Cleveland that was like, I like this. And then after he said he liked it, like 10 people in Cleveland liked it.
Yeah.
Because we weren't really well people say they like us. And I mean, where were you? You know?
Matt says the exact same thing. Matt says, you know, they would play and crickets after any gig. And, you know, maybe 10 people there. And it even blows my mind, because I manage the Instagrams and stuff, and people will be like, just to have young people comment, I'm like, dude, they're surprised, because I've talked to him, and I met up with Mike after a reissue, Mike from Hemdale. So just, they're always like, dude, there was no one there at the time, and no one gave a shit, and even the little guys didn't like it, and no, like, there it was crickets at the time. So it's bizarre to have people care 20 plus years later. They're almost 30.
30. Yeah, it is weird. It's a weird feeling, because like, we did reissued Vacancy, and I'm like, wait, people want this? And I look online, and I couldn't get over it. I'm like, why? And then, you know, love him or hate him, Pello always used to say, 213 will be a cult band. And I didn't understand what that meant until we became a cult band. Like, we can go we could go places and play, and we'll get a turnout. And the people that really came wanted to see it. They weren't just like, they were, dude, I really wanted to see this. There's not a sea of them. It's 10 to 20 always. Like, yeah. We were supposed to play a fest in Oakland Berkeley at 924. And things happened. We didn't do it. And so I went and did a Makita set, and people from Germany were pissed, like, not pissed, but they were stoked to meet me. But like, the guy was like, as soon as I saw your name on the flyer, I bought tickets to America.
That blows my mind.
I'm like, take all the records, just take them.
Yeah.
I feel bad, dude. And he goes, no, got pictures with me and stuff. But then the other people are there like, what is this apartment 213? What is that? And they're like, you know, we know Infest. We know Cave State. What's this? And I'm just like, that's weird, you know. But
yeah,
but we fell into the Hemdale thing. We didn't do anything. Like, it's, I can't, my, you know, hey Ron, we should go play in California. I can't. I got a good job as a machinist. It's like, okay, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah,
you want to make $7 an hour.
Well, what's great is after the dust has settled, I definitely feel like it is unanimously accepted by anyone who cares about Power Violence that Vacancy is a classic release.
I agree.
In the genre.
I agree with that. But again, that's real small and real niche. And I do know Eric Wood in an interview years ago, because I would never call us that. I actually was like, I don't know. I don't get it. But
you were just actually on the dividing line between fast metal, death metal, and hardcore. It wasn't an intentional thing. You were just naturally residing in that space.
Well, the history of 213 is weird, because our first band, State of Mind, was on a way to play a show in Erie, Pennsylvania. Our original guitar player, I could tell there was something going on with him. He wasn't talking to any of us, so we had to take four calls. And he went with this guy who was his guitar tech, which having a guitar tech in hardcore is weird. But anyway, so he went with him and whatever. So I drove with Tony DiPrano, the bass player, and his bass amp was in the back of a 2-seater car. And on the way up, Pello made me this Neanderthal tape. And I was like, this is literally the greatest band on the planet. Like, it just sounds like cavemen. I want to do this, just bass and drums, dude. And he goes, let's do it. You know, sorry, I have to do an Italian accent. Yeah. So we play our show. The guitar player quits mid set. Like, he just walked off. And I was like, okay. So on the way home, I'm like, so let's do it. Tony's like, what are you talking about? Like, let's do that band. He goes, what do you want to call it? I go, dude, let's call it Room 213 to the Dahmer. And dumb me, I didn't know they were called Apartment 2. I thought it was the room number. And when I told him, the drummer, he goes, I'll do it, but dummy, it's not room 213, it's not a motel. I go, oh, so apartment 213. He's like, yeah. And I go, let's do it. Would you do it? And he's like, yeah. And I go, no guitar, just bass and drums. Didn't work. Sound like crap. And yeah. So we got Ron Merck to play guitar and we were off to the races. And people thought it was dumb until we did a demo. I remember Chris Erba came with us to record our demo and he told Pello on the side, I'm going to ruin it. I'm going to do stupid vocals and say like, these guys are nerds. Oh, you know, scream, these guys are nerds. And then he got on the phone at the studio and told Chris, dude, these guys are great. And he's on the demo. And so then Chris Pello and I were really, really close. And I will say this till I'm not around. If it wasn't for Chris Pello, I wouldn't have known what any of these bands were. I liked Uniform Choice, Downcast, Conno Christ, Man is the Bastard, but I didn't know it was a theme. I didn't know anything about it. So if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know any of these bands. So I always credit him with that. And then later on, he wanted to play guitar in our band. And I'm like, what about Ringworm? He goes, no, I'm actually a guitar player. Didn't know it. Cool. And so that's how he got into it. And then when I moved to California, we always talked, me and Kanye. Sorry, Kanye. Rest in peace, brother. He would send me messages like, are we going to redo this? And I'm like, yeah, maybe Chris. No. And I'm like, okay. And we'll see. And so after he passed, Chris and I were talking and we tried to get Etchel involved. Etchel, true Clevelander. Sure, I'll do it. Never heard from him.
Yeah. And
so I would find some people out here. Well, we got some of the guys from Drug Abuse to do it. We got Bob Zeiger. We got a good friend, his good friend, Tony Zunt to do it. Bob got a little mad at Chris after the reunion shows because Chris was pretty heavily intoxicated at the Now That's Class show. And if you listen to the live record that Black Claw put out, you'll notice that half the songs are half the song. Uh-huh. He didn't finish 90% of them. So Bob quit. We got the guys from Drug Abuse to play in it. And then again, Cleveland showed up and nothing transpired. And the owner of Black Claw, Sean, was like, dude, at this point, I'll write songs. And I was like, yeah, if you want to. And so we got Sean from literally the first, he's in Charred Remains, Pillsbury Hardcore, PHC, End to End. The guy is like a California legend. Chris is like, no way, dude. If you would have told me years ago I was going to be in a band with Charred Remains and PHC, I would have.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Freaked out and, you know, whatever. And True Cleveland showed up. He did nothing.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
So now that's the perfect segue. Tell me who was playing with the band. Now you got some legends with
you. Yeah, it's actually like, at practice, I looked around. I'm just like, okay. It's Sean.
At what point, let's bring it back a little bit. At what point into Apartment 213 are you starting to correspond with these dudes? Like I see you did, you know, you did Electrostatic Orchestra 2010.
Yeah, that's with my Chris. Friend Jim Zudia and Chris and Chris Dodge.
Just one of the biggest legends in the style.
Right. Dodge and I have been goofy friends for years. Like he knows I don't like Spaz. I know he doesn't like 213. Not that I don't like them. It's just, so I don't take anything serious, but I do like, I don't want to be like the ICP of hardcore, you know, and not that they are, but they are. So, sorry, hate me for not liking Spaz. I don't care.
That's the claim. Spaz is the ICP of hardcore.
It's like the goofy Weird Al of hardcore, you
that's
know, like
fucking hilarious.
I think Max is one of the best drummers in the world. I think Chris is a great, 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 great bass player, and they have a sound. If they would have just been less, like, you know, cartoony, you know, like,
yeah.
But see, it's like an oxymoron to say that because, like, 5 seconds ago, I said, "Don't take yourself too serious." But what I mean by that is, I'm not a political guy. I'm not I'm not going to yell at you for the end of the world. What I like about 213 is I saw this world for how disgusting it was. And that's exactly what I wrote about. Like, it's awful. Like, the new record we're doing, and we're doing a new record, it's called Glamour. It's literally about LA. There's parts of LA where you can walk down the street and you're like, I could never afford to live here. 5 feet later, this lady who looks like, she looks like the guitar player in the Muppets Electric Mayhem, who just got this face for whatever reason. That's what she landed on. I have $10 million. Make me look like her because I want to be young again at 70. Well, it's not happening. So there's that. And then there's a dude pooping on the street. And so you're just like, this is what you wanted. This is in the Hollywood signs behind you. Glam. Yeah. You got it.
And I seen the pooping.
$5,000 a month, you could live in that shoebox too. So that's what I love it. To me, and it used to be from like the steel mills and just, you know, walking down the street, give me a dollar. It's like, no, it's just, I love that. And the serial killer thing, it's just like, I was never a serial killer. Like, oh, dude, they're great. Oh, that's awesome. You know, like weird guy who sweats in 40 degree weather, you know, looking at girls or whatever, like, oh, I could never talk to him, but I love them. It's just weird. Me, I'm just like, how do you do that every day of your life? Like what's wrong with you that, like, this is what you think about and this is what you do. Like, you know, it's interesting. So, and growing up in Ohio is a hotbed for those people. So let's go. We'll write about them. And I'm pretty sure if I didn't find God at some point, I would have owned a few heads in my trunk too.
I can agree with that too.
Yeah, it's easy.
I can agree with that for sure. Yeah, a lot of people say there's a particular nihilism or bleakness coming from Cleveland. It's hard to say because I'm from there. There's definitely, I do think that there is a particular assertiveness or aggressiveness or callousness.
From being out here, people would be like, dude, I got to get out. They're born and raised here. I got to get out of here. I'm like, where are you going to go? I don't know. Idaho. I'm like, and do what? Die of boredom? I go, you could go to Cleveland and you could buy a house for $100,000. And they're like, really? I'm like, uh-huh. And you could only be in that house. That's it. Because you can't make any money. There's no money to be made. Where are you going to work? Seven drug marts?
Yeah.
Like out here, they pay you for what you're worth. It's just overpriced. Everything's over expensive. They got the memo, wherever you're going. They got the memo. Raise the prices, lower the wages. It's not a hard sell, you know, but they all see this $100,000 for a house, big land, and all these aspirations of things. Well, what are you going to do with that big land? You have no money to work on it. You have nothing. Oh, so, and then, if you're lucky, you could watch the Browns lose or the Indians come this close or LeBron leave or my favorite, develop a drinking problem. So welcome to Cleveland.
Absolutely.
I honestly will say to people, after my mom passes, you'll never see me again. That's never set foot in that town
again. I believe it. And I know the weather and everything out there is awesome.
It's not just the weather, it's the we suck. we suck, dude. We're the worst. You are. I agree. I don't expect you to do. I don't know how you get up every day. I feel bad. I pray for you this much. I would bulldozer it and start over.
That's hilarious. So now with your guys out here, I interrupted you. Tell us about the guys you have in your band for 213 now, because you're working with some legends. And then
it pisses people off too, because we call it like West Coast or LA or whatever. Yeah. And people are like, it's Cleveland. I never said that. The guy from the Yoga Records or whatever it's called put that on there. I didn't want to call it that. Or whoever did the CD, I forgot. I'm like, what's the name of the record? Retribution said, what's the name of the record? And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, we'll call it Cleveland Power Violence. I'm like, okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
I wanted to call it beating a dead horse, then resuscitating and beating again. But he said, no,
Too many words.
Okay, cool. So he changed it to Cleveland Power Violence. I was like, yeah, leave it. That's cool. And we'll take that. That's fine. And so for a little while, I liked it. I thought it was funny. But out here, it's Sean Connell, who is owner and runner of the amazing Black Claw Records. He was the guitar player in Charred Remains, the guitar player in Just Happy Children, Pillsbury Hardcore, End to End, amongst others. And then we have on drums, Jay from Crom. And in bass, we have Martin from Excruciating Terror, which that's freaking weird, man. They're great. Awesome.
Yeah, we played with them back in 2015, 16, yeah, 2014, maybe?
Where?
No. We played, it was Hemdale did in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, okay.
We played a gig. It was Excruciating Terror and Stapled Shut.
Oh, that's rad.
It was awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah, and we're all excited about it, man. Like, it sounds great. We have a bunch of new songs that are just like, they're longer, they're heavier, they're fast, slow. They're just everything I wanted to do. It's the Cleveland Power Violence record,
mm-hmm,
less metal. And because Jerry's I always look at Jerry Kessler and be like, why are you in this band, dude? You could knock Kerry King out and go join Slayer and they wouldn't know. Why are you in this? You're dumbing yourself down, dude. Like,
that's hilarious as well.
This is like a professor at Harvard wanting to be a preschool teacher. It didn't make sense to me, but I'm glad he did it. But now that I listen to the new stuff, I'm like, this could be in between Vacancy and that record easily.
Dude, like, that's awesome. You're still loyal to it.
Oh, it's my kid. You know, I came up with it. I love it. It's one of my kids.
I'm very interested in hearing your perspective on talk about your pastor work a little bit, and then talk about, are there people, do you ever tell people that find a discrepancy between being a pastor and playing in this band?
Absolutely.
I think so, that's something I don't find it contradictory, but that's from my own experience of things. I can see it being something that's a bit hard for people to understand.
Well, it was hard for me to understand. So, you know, after I got sick in 2006, I thought my whole world went crazy. And I was previously married. She was in Lockweld with me. And I knew something was going on, but I couldn't tell you what it was. But after I got out of the hospital a multitude of times, I started to look at my life like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're pissed at everybody for no reason. You don't even know these people and you're mad at them. Like, what's wrong with you? So I called my friend, Rich, who I've grown up with, and he would come to our shows. He was never involved. He was just a funny guy we used to bring. It turns out the funny guy had a brain in his head and became a federal agent. So he's been a federal agent since 93. So I called him and I'm like, hey, what's this church thing you're doing? Because I grew up in it. I just thought it was dumb. Like, I wasn't too dumb to realize that this just didn't happen. Something made it, but I didn't think there's a guy up there going, I'm going to send my son to fix you. You know, I didn't, all those stories, I was like, that's cool if you want to, like, you know, it's kind of like Buddha. It's kind of like whatever, you know, you need something to name it, right? We always have to name things, right?
Yeah.
Like styles of music. No, I play gore, grind, blast beat, funk. It's like, okay.
No, that's power violence.
Power violence. But anyway, so I in the hospital, I called him and I go, what do I do? And he's like, just pray. And I go, like, how? And he told me. And I was like, nah. So I was in ICU for like 40 some days. And one day, every day they would come. I was in Fairview in Cleveland, but it was before with Cleveland Clinic. But it was a really nice room. I had my own room. And every morning they would come in and ask me if I want a newspaper. And I would go, no, and please close my door. And they're like, I would tell them, I go, remember, I have C. diff. I can't let this, you know, disease out there. You know, I got this, like, it's worse than E. coli. And when they would come in my room, they'd have to like gown up and wear like weird hazmat crap. But they would leave it wide open. I'm like, come on. I think they did that so I'd walk. So I'd get up, shut my door.
Yeah.
Well, one day this dude walks in and I'll never forget this guy. Like, he was in this, like, he looked like a mafia hitman. I'm like, what the heck is this? And he's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I've been better. And he goes, can I pray with you? And I said, sure. And he's like, would you like a Bible? And I go, absolutely. And I'm thinking, what are you saying? You know, I guess I just didn't want to offend him or die. So, yeah. And he did his deal and left, and I'm flipping through it, and I'm like, well, that's awesome. And then right after, the nurse comes in, she goes, can I get you anything? I go, no, I'm good. I go, actually, thank that guy for me, that pastor priest dude. She goes, what? I go, the dude in the suit, tell him thanks. That was really cool. And I held up my little Bible, and she goes, I didn't see anybody like that. Enjoy your morphine breakfast. And I'm like, I'm not on morphine. I had them take me off 3 days ago. I hated that stuff. I could start to stop my dreams. So I never did drugs, so I'm not going to start today. And so she's like, huh, well, there's only two people, and they're on, and they're downstairs. You have to call them to come upstairs. They're not going to be up here. And I go, well, who's that? She goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. So she left. I asked the security guard that was on the floor. He had no idea what I was talking about. So I called my friend Rich, and I was like, hey, this is just what happened. How do I pray? What do I do? Where do I look? He goes, all right, dude, open that book. Start reading all the stuff in red, because the first part of that book is going to freak you out. You're not going to understand any of it. Yeah. And I'm like, all right. So from that day on, I had it in my hand. I didn't understand it, and I wasn't living it. I went out after I got divorced. I went out and lived like a guy who just got divorced did. And sowed my oats, as they said, but I wasn't happy, man. I was miserable all the time. So I went back to that book, and I kept, and I've been going back to that book ever since. And that's the only thing that has fixed me. And he keeps putting things in my life. I thought it was scogging, which it is, that would, I can impact people and be like, hey, this is what happened to me. If you're going through a similar thing, maybe you could do this. And then one day I'm at work folding shirts at Michael's. It's like 3 a.m. and I get this message from Dwight. Hey, you should do power electronics, but make it Christian. I'm like, that's dumb. And I go, wait a second. That's actually the most genius thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I've been saying, why? I would go to church. I'm like, why does this band sound like this? Why can't you sound like Black Sabbath or something kind of cool? And because Christian music is horrid. And and I'm like, this is so bad. You have such a good message, but this girl can't sing, and the bass is, oh, I want to leave now. And can it just be 10 minutes long? So I was like, you know what? Why not? So I did it. Here we are. And I literally lay down at night, and I can feel in my chest the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I've been telling you to do for 20 years. 20 years, man, you should have been doing this.
I love that. And you definitely, when I first saw it, I said, I think this is unprecedented. I don't think there's been any openly Christian power electronics act as far as I'm aware of.
I don't know. I've heard a couple people mention another band, and I'm sorry if you're listening. It skips my brain right now, because I will be 53 years old, so give me some breaks. And but I don't know. And I've heard people say that they don't know. And to me, that doesn't matter. What matters is I love White House. They're my favorite band. And I...
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Not saying he likes it, but I have gotten the message from William Bennett, like, thank you for, you know, saying we're an inspiration. I don't necessarily think he's like, hey, don't tell. He's probably like, don't tell people, but thank you, you know, because there is like a subversive culture to that style of music. And that's where I need to be. And I've been called names. People have told me I dislike them because of my religion. And I don't even have a religion. I don't believe in religion. I think religion is just another one of those titles. I have a relationship with God. I talk to him every day. I talk to him before I talk to you. It's just what I do. And my kids do it. My wife does it. And if anybody were this guy over here cutting the grass, you want to know about Jesus? I'll tell you. If you don't, I won't. And if they're like, oh, you don't like me because of my, you know, how I conduct myself, this dude, I don't know how you misconstrued the words love all to hate all. I don't know where that comes from, but you know, people have a misconception over everything. I have a misconception over, you know, things too. Like I hear things or see things. I'm like, oh, that's bad. You know, like when I used to hear the word vegan, I'd be like, oh my gosh, just eat it already. Who cares? And now that I have to be vegan, I'm like, I get it. It is the healthier way of eating. It can be absolutely the most unhealthy way of eating too, because everything's laced with soy and sugar. But once you start eating healthy and cooking your own food and, you know, whatever, it's a misconception. So I know the misconceptions of Christianity because there's insane people out there who do insane things, like the same people who say Muslims are evil. That's not Muslims. That's people.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there is an absolutely essential function of religion. The word religion comes from religio, meaning to link back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Etymologically. So religion providing, and what I think people don't understand about religion is you have a religion no matter what. That's just how the psyche is oriented.
So
if you're an atheist, your religion is scientific materialism or materialism, but the function of the psyche is orienting itself around there needs to be some conception of that which there is no other.
Well, I blew a guy's mind one day and we were talking and he tried to trap me, you know, because that's what people like to do, because I used to do it.
Yeah,
and I know it. He was like, I have no gods. I have no master. And I go, in that statement, you now have a god and a master. You.
Yeah. And it's either logic or whatever this argument is hanging on. He's probably saying my god is logic, rationalism. And that's how I go about things. I always make my decisions based on logic and I don't deal with this emotionality.
He also told me that a meteor is coming and it's going to hit the earth. And I go, then your god will be killed because you'll be hit by a meteor. Mine will go on. And if I'm wrong, what have I lost? So I live my life. I'm kind to people. I give to the poor. I pray for people and I hope for the best. You know, I cancer sucks. I had it. I know I'm sitting here with you. I'll sit in it with you. You can pour into me. I'm not going to tell you, you know, anything supernatural. I don't know it, but I'm just going to sit here and listen. What did I do wrong? So I die and there's no heaven. Oh no, I did. I was nice to people. You know, I'll tell you right now. And I truly mean this. You better thank God himself that I believe him, because I'd kill all y'all. Like if I weren't saved, I would be a mass freaking murderer. The amount of crap I deal with every day for my stomach, there's days that people cut me off in traffic, and trust me, we have traffic out here. I'd make balloon animals out of their entrails. I just have something that says, whoa, buddy, hey, they're going through it too. Come on. Well, look at the grace I gave you. And you know you didn't deserve it. That guy never did anything to you, and you glued his hands to a pipe bomb. Come on. I'm like, yeah, I did do that. And I don't know why I did. I just decided this would be something to amuse me.
Yeah.
And then hide.
And I'm very good at hiding. I'm the same way, where I think, I think it's something everyone needs to do on their own volition. They need to find their own relationship to whatever they believe is beyond regular life for answering big questions, the origin, the purpose of existence. You need to have, I personally believe you need to have some kind of relationship with yourself that leads you to this greater understanding of things beyond it. And there's a necessity of it. And the necessity is the pragmatic necessity is that if you have any understanding of the way the ego functions, the ego works as a filtering mechanism for the greater self. And just the absolute nature of the ego is that it's always going to be limited. And we're never going to be able to see all of the factors at play and all of the things that are relevant and all of the things that create the situations we're in. So I believe you need to have some kind of faith. You need to have it on your own volition. And I'm not attached to the way people have it, but I think you need to have some kind of relationship with understanding love, and to know that if you're going through something difficult, if you're going through anything, that you need to just be able to pause and say there's something more at play here. And even if I don't understand it, I will be able to come to understand it. And because for me personally, I totally agree with you. If I wasn't able to calm myself down and say that and say, hey, you know, there is some kind of purpose and meaning for whatever terrible thing is happening, even if I don't understand it yet. Yes, I will go into a rage, and I deal with that too. And I deal with having absolute hatred and misanthropy at times. And it takes that love and that connection to something greater than me to be able to work with those things in myself.
Well, and I have to, so this is where my humanity comes out, and it wars with my Christianity. And yeah. Earlier I was like, I'd burn Ohio down. I wouldn't. And I, Father God, forgive me of that. Take that out of my heart. I don't want that. Those people never did anything to me. I don't even know half of them. The people that did me wrong back there, they know who they are. And I probably gave them purpose to do me wrong. So please forgive me, and forgive me for saying it. And that's the Christianity fighting with my humanity. Like I'm not good at this. People are like, I've heard you say the F word. I'm like, okay, fuck you. You know, like,
yeah, 100%. It's not. And I, there have been in just historically, a lot of Christians, a lot of people have been very dogmatic to their religion and very just one-sided about it. So I understand why people don't have a welcoming relationship or have bad associations with entering into something like that, because there is that arrogance in people, in church people, and there's no shortage of church members that of any church that do not behave in alignment with the ideology that they are professing.
And I've been told you can't have tattoos if you're in the church. And I'm like, that's interesting, because in Revelation, Jesus has a word written on his leg when he comes back, only he can pronounce. But I don't know. He just decided one day to get a Sharpie and do that. I'm not saying he got tattooed. I don't know. Maybe it is wrong. But I have a feeling I've done more in my life that's more wrong, and I'll continue to do unknowingly, than getting ink on my body. Like, but that's what Christians will pick on. They'll be like, oh, even though they're off cheating on their husband, oh, you have tattoos. It's like, okay, let's do the bigger picture here. The bigger picture is I'm trying to have grace for other people, and going off about, you know, Cleveland and all that is not that. So that, again, I need to do better. And that's what I'm striving for. And when I told this guy, he's like, I caught you in a swear word or whatever it was. And I was like, dude, to be like the ultimate Christian, like, you got it. That's your death day. That's when they close the lid. And then you go get judged. Because I've got from now until that day to mess up and to do better. And my goal is to do better every day. And I took a step back. I get irritated at Cleveland. I get irritated at people, you know, like I look at the way people conduct their lives back there. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Then don't tell me you want to do something when you can't physically tell yourself to put down alcohol for more than 10 minutes. You know, don't blame me. Don't blame that guy. Don't blame the people at work. Look in the mirror, you know, go, oh, I have a drinking problem, and then move on. But, you know, I spend like hours on a phone getting berated because, you know, somebody couldn't keep up their end of what they wanted to do. They approached me. I was like, if we're going to do this, let's agree to do it. 100%. Didn't work. So I moved on. And now we have a functioning thing, and it's like there's zero stress on it. I don't have to think about it. It just gets worked on. I don't have to call, are we doing it? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? And it just gets done, and it's better than ever. And with Makita, whoever is involved in it, generally it's just me DWID does a lot of it. I have my friend Jim Fellaheen like producing production on and some of stuff. I'll have other people down the line, but generally it's just a one-man show, and other people help me with artwork because, again, I'm not an artist. But and they help me like record because I'm pretty bad at that too. But yeah, it's I think the lack of productivity irritates me sometimes. And I've always been one to just do it. Like my wife will be like, what are you doing? I'm like, recording for what? Another record, another one. I'm like, why not? They want to put it out. Let's do it. She goes, that's awesome. Like I have a friend that calls me every day. Yeah, I'm working on this. I'm like, it's not done yet. No, I'm still working on it. Okay. It better be better than Mozart. Cause like it's been a year. To go.
Yeah, I relate to that too, as I've always led my bands that I was in, and it took a long time to be able to even find, it took a long time to even be able to communicate. But it is, you have to have an alignment of intentions.
Amen.
And everything you just talked about before, you were talking not only just about being creative, but also with, when you were talking about people not having the understanding of balancing these polarities. So you have your serial killer themed power violence band on one hand, you have your pastor on the other hand. There's a play of polarities where there's that very humanness, that human inclination to be tribal, be violent, be aggressive, tell things off. And then there's that higher self, that idealized self, and real life ends up happening in the middle of that. It's not always doom and gloom, and it's definitely not always sunshines and rainbows.
Well, it's funny because, and you asked me about 213 and like the pastoral thing. Yeah. I think some church, actual like brick and mortar church pastors would look at this and hear this and go, oh, don't put my name in that same box as you're in, buddy, because you're not a pastor. Like you're, I don't know what you are. You're like a weird rebel guy. But I think I might be the only real one because we're people, man. And you talked about the ego. Ego is a defense mechanism that's inside of us. It's all of these things are our defense mechanisms. Anxiety is technically a defense mechanism. It's how we use it. Usually we use it wrong. So with 213, where I was in 92, 93, is obviously not where I am now. I'm not going to yell about serial killers anymore. And if I do, it's about a story. And it's always been about a story. It's never been about admiration. It's always been about, huh, that's weird. I like it. Let's do this. It's like people in like the 90s would be like, well, describe 213. I'm like, heavy music with a third grade news, with a third grade newspaper article about what just happened. Because my English, I was a C student, let's keep it that way. So I don't know all the big words and all that stuff. And so that's what 213 was then. It still is now, but it's more now about the human condition. It's like when we look at these people and we look at different topics, where are you in that? Like, are you living in it? Is that where you want to be? Or is that where you're forced to be because of your economic situation, or you're just your weird desires? And that's what interests me. And it's always interests me. With Makita, it's straight up. Here's where I was. Here.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
That's who I am now. And take it for what it is. And it's 100% Christian. It's 100% you in mind. That's every record I write. Like, what would I like to project onto other people to tell them how important they are? Not to me, to God. That's what it's about. And if they like it, cool. If they don't, cool.
But that's awesome. The intentionality is what we're getting at with both of it. So it takes time to find that intentionality with your actions. And I totally agree. I think we're on the same page where you're not going to be able to act from a place of much intentionality if you're not getting under the hood of the way you function. You need to play that role where you got to fucking, you got to be your own master. And you have to, on one hand, and then on the other hand, you have to recognize authority outside of you. You have to properly put internal and external authority in its place. And you got to, if you're not living, if you're not living your dream, you're living someone else's. And you
couldn't agree more. I love under the hood. I love that analogy, under the hood. I might steal that. I'll give you a 2 cent royalty every time I use that.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
That is, that's exactly, like, every day is work. And people are like, you know, honestly, I look at people that aren't Christians and be, and I'm like, oh man, I miss that sometimes. Like, I don't have to care. Like, yeah. there's a war in, it was like a spiritual war with me on everybody else, but me, I'll just use me because it's just me.
Yeah.
I only know me. So even my wife, like, I can't think for her. I can't act for her. I can't respond for her. My kids too, but I can see it. But for me, I'm going, and I know the right thing to do, you know, whether I'm skate, like I was telling you earlier, I'd love to be skating and scogging while doing this interview, but I hurt my leg and this person cut me off and I had to jump off my board, pop my knee that was already kind of out of sorts. And I really wanted to chase them down and throw my board at the back of their car. And I got this Holy Spirit check, like, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are they going to learn from that? They're going to learn that you're a very angry young individual and you can't take responsibility to calm yourself down. Yeah, it was their fault.
Totally. But the anger was justified.
It was justified. But what are you going to, who are you going to convert? Who are you going to, what are you going to prove that, you know, you got the upper hand, that won this round? Like, maybe you don't, maybe they were on their way home because their kid was choking on something, or on their way to the hospital, or late for work, or whatever. They weren't looking for you. I know that. And you weren't involved in their equation, but you wanted to insert yourself in their equation just so you could feel like a man, like a victor. What did you get? And this is the war that's going on in my head. Most people will be like, you should have threw your board, dude. God's like, nope. Be the bigger man here, Steve. I got something better for you than this. You would have won that, but let's win the war, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
And I side with that now. And the reason why is because I'm not here to tear down. I'm here to build up, because I've been torn down a lot. And I love when people build me up. It's actually the one thing. When I walk through the door, my wife says, I'm proud of you. Nothing matters. My day just got good. And that's, imagine how that'll feel when the creator of the world goes, proud of you, buddy. Not, all right, how do we back this one off? We screwed up again.
Totally agree. And that same for me, it's that war is the war with myself every day, where you get up and you just have to move toward, I just try to do my best to move towards love in the best way I can embody that.
Love it. That's what we're here to do.
Not easy.
No. I'm just looking at people right now as I'm outside, like, oh, that just to not care would be 5 minutes of just, but what is that? It's like showing your responsibility, showing that you are God. You know, I'm not, I make a terrible God. So
you're yearning for the Garden of Eden. I can relate to that too. There's times just where I was like, I wish I didn't have to fucking worry about my health today. I wish I didn't. I wish I could not have to worry about what I eat or what I do. And but
man, you know, we can go into depth about that, but that's a disgusting, gross picture that I paint when I tell people, like, well, I had a boss go, well, so what's really wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm more of a show than tell. So I took a picture of the toilet after I was done and showed him. And he goes, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, yeah, that's what the doctors are trying to figure out. He goes, no, why would you show anybody that? And I'm like, you asked.
I wanted to make sure you understood.
45 minutes of hard work there, buddy. Blood and all.
Brutal, man. It's amazing you've been able to heal yourself to the extent that you have and find more, just more life on the other side of this, because you have a fucking killer band now. All your projects.
Thank you.
Balanced with, you got your family, you got your job, you have more of your health than you've ever had. It's just my props to you. It's commendable, because you're juggling quite a few balls here. It's a lot to manage.
Keeps you young, I guess. What I love about it, and this is one of my favorite things, just chatting, because when I get nervous sometimes doing interviews, because I'm like, don't say something stupid, which I'm going to say something stupid.
Me too.
Because it's just who I am. I'm a weird guy, and my mouth is 10 times faster than my brain. But like, again, I go back to that thing, we should bulldozer Cleveland. That's like, that's not something any human being should say. That's just a hurt kid. And and that's a defense mechanism. It's like, well, you got me, I'll get you. It's me throwing a board at a car that cut me off. I always tell God, I'm like, dude, can I be 30 seconds before I say something stupid instead of 30 seconds after? Cause I'm tired of walking it back, but it's there sometimes, but a lot of the times I'm like, all right, sorry, you know, but sorry is like, to me, sorry is a band-aid that you don't even take out of the wrapper. It's like, well, I'm still bleeding, dude. When I tell people I'm sorry, I tell them by, hey, I let them see it. I pray right in front of them, like, Lord, take this away from me. I don't want this anymore. I want to be in a good mood 24/7. I want people to look at me and go, that guy's weird, and I want what he has.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with you have to celebrate your individuality. And, I think that's an accomplishment on your end to have that level of intentionality we were talking about, just to have that with the band, because I've struggled with the same thing. And then eventually I realized it's one part intentionality and the other part is communication. Cause it's like, yep, you get in a band with dudes and everyone's saying, oh, let's do X, Y, and Z. I'll be here on this day. It never works out that way, because we never even discussed what are the parameters of this band. There's a lot of different kinds of bands where you could be a garage cover band for fun, all the way up to you could be trying to take over the world. And there's people where I wasn't intentional about what I was doing. I was saying, man, why, what do you mean you'd rather go to work? Or what do you mean you'd rather do X, Y, and Z? And it's like, well, we never had this discussion, so there shouldn't be a world dominator guy in a band with whatever you want to call it, with Friday's hostess. You know what I mean?
There's
totally different levels of how cat are you trying to be casual? Are you there's people that will fucking do anything short of kill just to have that attention and that spotlight for their band. So you got it. Right. There's such a wide range of intentionality. Same with behavior. And I appreciate you saying that. I think it's important that people hear that. If anyone who is not familiar, not involved with a religious practice, and they're saying what you were talking about, how there's a lot of, in mainstream religion, a lot of just really dogmatic fixation on superficiality. Exactly what you're talking about. Oh, I know there's some pastors or people that are going to say, oh, you can't have a tattoo. You never end of this with Islam and stuff, two very particular fixations on superficiality. And I think it's important that people know that there's people like you that are more so into reading the intentionality of people's behavior. And that's what I need for my inner peace too, just to understand people. I have to develop that empathy, and just, it's a lot more important, or it's equally important to understand the intentionality of someone's behavior than just the behavior itself. Cause you don't realize how much you write a story about other people's behavior and what that means to you, and how caught up we are in our own bullshit stories.
Amen. Well, and that goes to bands like, and I appreciate what you said, because I never, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, we never even, it was just, hey, do you want to do a band? Sure. I'll play drums. Cool. I'll play bass. Cool. I'm talentless. I'll yell. We never had any other thing other than this is who's doing what. And it was never like, okay, actually, which changed with Sean, because Sean is very oriented. Sean's like, plan A. We record, we put out record shows. And I'm like, let's do it. And we've had some misses out here with people because plan A wasn't their plan A. Their plan A was to go sit near the beach and drink cocktails. And we're like, what about 213? And they're like, oh yeah, dude. Yeah, we got this. No, for sure. You know, we got this. And it's like, well, we don't have it because we haven't done plan A. And now the intention is there. Plan A, record, play, not it. And then, you know, people get tied up on finances and it's like, we're not going to make money. We're going to do records. Black Claw will break even. We'll get gas money for shows, maybe pinch more. But I mean, we're not Elvis. We're not the Beatles. We're Apartment 213. Like, this, it's fun. And when these fun suckers suck the fun out of it, we'll find somebody else that sees the vision of Plan A. Plan A is it. And Apartment 213 is sticking to Plan A. Like, I need to do a record a year. And Sean and I agree that this band, if we had the right people, could do a record a year.
That's awesome. And I can't wait to hear whatever you cook up with them.
It's probably one of my favorite things I've done. Like I've said, every lineup that 213 has been really fun and really good. This one is the productive one. And that's rare. I'm not used to it. I'm so going to practice and I go in, they have, you know, I come in, got my mic and they're like, all right, let's go through the five songs. I'm like, wait, what five? You know, like, wait, you already have five. Okay. You know, and they're not like rehashes of Decay again, you know, like,
yeah,
I get people like, I've had it said to me, a couple people like, hey, would you be on our comp? I'm like, well, let's do this record and we'll talk about it. And if you are, can it not be Decay?
yeah.
That was the song that or Endless Killing. That was like Endless Listening. We just sent it to them because couldn't get these guys to get into a room. And back to what you were saying, we never set the intention of getting into a room. We just had the title band.
And it,
so I owe everybody an apology for that. I didn't even think of that. So,
there's 300 show a year bands.
Yeah.
And there's fucking my band now is, we got two gigs this summer. That's all, you know what I mean? We'll do probably less than 10 shows this year. That's all I want to do. Those are two totally different. A 10 show a year band is nothing like a 300 show a year band.
No. And I'd hats off to Twid for being able to do that. Like I look at how many times he plays. I'm like, oh wow, that's a lot. I love live shows, but for like, and plan, this goes in with plan A for 213. They have to be like, you know, I'm not going to play Joe's Crab Shack, the 10 people and have to bust tables in between songs.
Yeah.
You know, or play to the sound guy. Not that we deserve respect by any means, but.
But I got to pay my bills. It's just I can only, if I'm taking off work or whatever I got to do to do it, it's like, I understand that's a condition of doing it, but like, I can't, I'm not a charity case.
I would love, like, we've been offered to go to Japan. That's going to happen. Like, I know Krom's gone and they had a good time. We're going to go.
So sick.
And I want to bad. But like, hey, would you guys play, you know, Des Moines, Iowa? No. Not going to happen. And there was like a weird thing with us in the middle. And what is it? I always get the Death Fest mixed up because they're both M's.
Okay.
Maryland. We were supposed to play the Maryland thing. And again, libations were involved. And I'm just shaking my head. And we should have went. And we didn't. And I had to like say it's because of this. And I felt terrible, you know, but then they were a little less nice about it. So I may have dug a hole in that area, but I apologized. I think they're okay with it, but we're not going to play. Like I want to play shows that make sense.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Like if Infest is on the bill, yeah. But if like Sodom is on the bill, no. Like I couldn't name a song. So why am I going to go listen to some old guys that, in a band I've never heard? Am I going to do it? I'm not going to play down the street here at somebody's house. But and it's not because we're great. It's not because we want money. It's because I'm bored. Like I rather play a show that people want to see us, and then another year goes by, they'll see us again. We're doing two this year, and I'm not a fest guy. I'll be the first one to tell everybody, but I agree to do them because friends are playing, and I haven't seen Mike Williams in years, and it's going to be fun to hang out.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
I like noise. I like power electronics. Hardcore, I'm bored of. I like playing it. I think 213 is White House. I'm tone deaf, so I don't know what's going on. So, and to me, it just sounds like, and I love it. And I know when to yell, and sometimes, and generally I do it in different spots because, again, tone deaf. But I like that. I like that sporadic, like, you know, that real, to me, that's aggressive and stuff. I like that. But I'm not really into hardcore anymore. I never really was. That's why I like Neanderthal and Manos the Bastard. I love Integrity because they're great. They're better than Slayer. And that's hard to do.
Just to continue with what you're talking about, you're saying you're bored of the hardcore stuff. I get it. And you have, I think it's awesome. You have done what, been through enough. Members and bands and the trials and tribulations of this intentionally to finally have a productive band that can make these things. And where you fall in now, both with Makita and 213, is you're in a ideal area to be around that lineage in California where you can fit into this existing power violence, power electronics thing. There's a lineage here of these being intimately intertwined, noise and power violence type stuff, which you're just not going to have that anywhere else. You couldn't do that in Cleveland. You have a band now where you are, whether I understand you probably look at it, you're thinking about it more from your own individual artistic standpoint, but you at least have something here that can provide you opportunities by allowing you that to fit into something.
Absolutely. What's cool is, so when I say I'm sick of hardcore, I mean like, you know, like hate, you know, what people think is hardcore.
And of course, yeah.
But there's the fests with, you know, like Hatebreed. I would be like, hi, Jamie. I don't care. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I don't care. I was excited when the Confront record came out. I may have listened to it once. I was like, this is great. I mean, it's just old to me. It's cool, but if they played, I'd go see it because Confront were always one of my favorites. But like Neanderthal on repeat constantly. White House and Neanderthal are always on repeat. Man is the Bastard. Eric Wood is an absolute genius. Like genius. Pissed Happy Children, legendary. Like to have Sean in our band, it's just like, okay, he's real. You know, and as a label guy, he puts out my Makita stuff. Speaking of, Prince of Peace comes out tomorrow. Saturday. Awesome. Whatever, it depends on when you're listening to this.
Saturday, yeah, tell the day. Saturday, February 29th. 1st. Oh, March 1st.
When it comes out March 1st.
March
so,
1st. That day I said doesn't exist.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm excited, man. So, but there's a band from San Diego called Influencer.
Okay.
I did a Makita set with them and they played, and I never stand up front for bands because it's just, I don't want to get punched by a karate kick or anything. I'm waxed on, wax off. I'm done with all that stuff. But they played the Chay, we played the Chay Cafe in San Diego, and I was, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, it was like watching Crossed Out and a Power Electronics band play at the same time. And I was just like, who are you people? Like, this was amazing. This is a great, do this, you know? Like, and that's just my opinion. People are going to listen to this and be like, care what you think, nerd. But that's what I like. So as the guy in 213, that's the shows I want to play. Like, stuff like that. Intriguing. Like, interesting. And the CY Fest just seems really interesting. And that endless, the guy, that's the same guy who booked the one in Chay. He's putting on some really killer stuff. I mean, he got Terrorizer LA. That's Oscar's band, dude. That's like Terrorizer. That's, I mean, I know it doesn't have the hillbillies that are in Morbid AD or whatever they're calling
it. I just saw him. I am Morbid.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, y'all. This next little tune goes out to the guy who made my cowboy hat. Shut up. But when you were from California and you were cool, that was awesome. The dead shall rise. Now the cattle shall roam. I don't know what they're doing. It's awful.
It's fucking hilarious.
He's still a great drummer, but it's like, I don't know. I like that guy. Oscar's awesome. We get to play with him. I'm like, I'm just going to be like the whole time. Like,
I know. I wish we could have done it. Hopefully Matt Rossitano's watching, and Matt Rossitano says, yeah, we should do that. That sounds cool.
Get out here. Get out here. Sometime. Dude, I'm telling you, get out here.
Sometime. That would be great.
There's a show a week. I don't go to any of them because I'm old.
I know.
But, I mean, you could. If I had, like-minded friends that wanted to go and we weren't like, dude, I got to go before tomorrow, you know, but I would go to that. I'd go see Terrorizer LA. Come on. That's nuts, dude.
Yeah.
You know,
it definitely is. But I love, I'm the same way as you, where I got my own life. I have priorities before doing music shit. But, and you're always about keeping your finger on that pulse. It's always, and it's because it's always changing.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, that's, I said that to Dwid too. I think that's Taoism to me. You can't step in the same river twice. It's never going to be, you're always, you can't fall into that. Always chasing nostalgia, because it's never going to be what it was in the context that it was when you discovered it. So it's, I'm always have to search for new ways to find that creative fulfillment and to find that actual excitement that gets me into that flow state for what I love. So kudos to you, and same with Dwid, you know what I mean? Just
right on,
that do that are not coming at it from the head, but coming at it from the fucking heart, where you're
Psy
saying
Psy Warfare should be on every noise person's rotation. It's every record's great. Every record's different. Every record's great.
You and have a hilarious creative process that I want you to tell people about.
What do you mean?
Dwid says that the way you compose is you'll just take a break at work, or you'll be going about your day and you'll just start screaming into your iPhone.
Yeah.
And he'll build the song around that.
Yeah, the album was me skating. I was fogging around town going, yeah!
No music or anything. You're just going for it. And yeah, you're just screaming. And he goes, okay, I could work with that.
That's my worship, dude. Like, everybody's like, worship music. That's not worship music. You're not like, oh, Lord, dude, this is what God wants to hear from me. He wants to hear my raw nerves, like, going, what, wake up, what are you doing? Come on, you're alive, be alive, start talking, interact, mingle, you know. Oh, we can't COVID, who cares?
Yeah.
There's a ways around that, you know. Email, we're doing, are you in a room with me right now?
Nope.
See, they got smart with this technology thing.
Yeah, and that's speaking in tongues, dog. I feel the same way. That's speaking in tongues. That's my spiritual practice. I don't give a shit what it's, you know, I mean, if you're not going to take the time to recognize the intention behind it, then I don't give a fuck what you think about it.
Same. And people like, you know, people at my church are like, it's not something I think we could play because the, you know, the old church ladies would be like, you know, but we love it. We love that you're doing it. We love the fact that you're going into places that, like, I mean, noise dudes are pretty much like into like some pretty gnarly stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And and they got to deal with me, you know, and some of them love it. Some of them probably don't like me. But I don't, they haven't said anything to my, a couple have said stuff to my face. My favorite was when, I was told I was a white Christian naturalist, and I was like, wow, that's a big one. That's one that you just don't, that's pretty heavy, man. So prove it. Well, you're a Christian. And I'm like, yep. You don't like, and I'm like, oh, I love everybody. Yeah. I may not have used to, but yeah. I do now. Really? Well, you're not supposed to. Well, where's that? Flipping. Haven't found it. Flip. I didn't see it. Flip. It's not even in the back of the, where the maps are. I didn't see any of it. I was told. Yeah, you were told. You heard and you listened. You reacted. Now you're wrong.
Because that's your idea of my idea that you're telling me without even asking me what my idea of it is.
Yep, that's like, that goes back to, where are you moving to? California. Moving to La La Land.
Yeah.
Dude, I live near horses and farmers. So you were told, you listened, and you reacted. You didn't experience it. You have no idea what you're talking about. We all do it. Like, I didn't want to eat avocados. I was like, they look gross and green. Ah, my wife's like, just eat it. I can't not have an avocado every day. I eat it every day. So it's, I was told, somebody told me they're gross. I listened and I reacted. I just didn't do the work. I didn't research. I didn't dig deeper. So that's everything. You can take it from an avocado to Christianity. What we need to do is shut up. Do research and go, oh, I was kind of wrong. I booked a show for coming up with a bunch of noise guys out here, and I have Allegory Chapel Limited playing. And I was told he's got a symbol and he's a white Christian nationalist. And I'm like, he's Vietnamese, so it's going to be a problem for him somehow. I don't know if he got the memo. So, and he's 60. Don't think he cares about any of what you're talking about.
Definitely.
We just need to stop tagging things and do the research. That's my opinion, but I've done it.
We all do it. Everyone has a reaction, but if you're smart, if you're mature, you'll take a minute to realize you'll ask yourself, am I right? Because
I don't even know if he's Vietnamese.
Yeah, but probably not too many devout Christian nationalists infiltrating the harsh noise scene.
I would assume no, but there could be, and they're entitled to their opinion. It's completely wrong and not just it's not doctrinally sound. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has everything to do with I'm angry and they wronged me, and I'm going to use these words in white to explain it, and I'm going to exclude these words, take these words out. I'm just going to start my own cult.
Same with any dogmatic.
That's all it is.
Ideology like that.
Yeah, you can make Target into or Walmart into a hate thing. You can make a street pole into a hate thing. It's just how we do it. Like there's people that have made COVID into something. They made it so like, oh, we're being poisoned. You're being poisoned every day, McDonald's. So just do the research, man. Just start, maybe think before you speak. I'm actually looking at myself right now in my little picture, like, Steve, think before you speak, because my job every day, and it's, I say my job, but my want every day is to make God look good, make him look like he's the creator of the world. I want people to love him and go, oh, what have I been doing? And it's not going to happen if I'm like, they're going to be like, dude, I do that anyways, and I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be, you just don't buy a lottery ticket thinking, I can't wait to lose. You buy a lottery ticket like, this might be the one. And that's the greatest lottery ticket, because it is the one. When we leave here, I want to know I'm covered. And like I said before, if I'm not, I left a pretty cool trail as opposed to destruction.
Amen to that, brother.
That's the goal. And I got two little ones at home going, hey, Dad, they're talking. This kid yelled at me in school. What should I do? And my head's like punching right through the wall.
You deck them.
You walk up to them and you say, hey, man, that's not how I want to handle this. I mean, I don't want any bad blood between us. Is there anything I did wrong? How can I work this out with you? And their mouths are just like, you want me to get hit again? I'm like, no. I mean, a lot of people misconstrued the passage in the Bible. If struck, offered the other cheek. That is a very Israeli thing. Israel is very defensive. So if you, the Israelites, if you smacked one, they're like, do it again. Try me. Come on. Do it one more time. Because you ain't gonna like what happens next. So come on. That's what he's talking about. And people were bright enough not to hit him again. And so there's a ways to defuse a situation without getting hit and retaliating. Now it's just a fight. It's, hey, it's not how we're doing this. You don't wanna go that next route. We wanna solve this now.
Someone needs to be the adult in the room.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. So before we go, plug this out, plug this album you got coming out tomorrow. Tell everyone what they can expect from potentially the world's first Pastor Power Electronics Act.
Well, this is my third CD on Black Claw. The first one was The Apostles. It's all about the apostles. The second was Worship Electronics. It was literally what I wanted to consider worshiping. If you're into power electronics, if you're into like strumming bad chords and, you know, broken vocal cords, that's that. I wanted White House worship music, this. So that's why we did that. But the first records coming, the first thing we ever did with Dwight and I, we did Makita Power Electronics, the LP that'll be out on Dark Empire. Just got the test pressings. Sounds cool. And then I did doing a 7-inch on Phage. He just got his test pressings, so that should be out maybe March, April. And coming out tomorrow is Prince of Peace, which is on Black Claw, and it is 40 minutes of chaos Christian.
Love it. And that's you and Dwid too?
That's me. That one's just me. Dwid is on the first LP, and he's on Deathbed Tapes with that one. That's called Judas Mirror Image. That's about if seeing Judas in all of us. In other words, like, if where would we be in that story if we were sitting next to God Himself, but yet not having any money in my bank account? And some people came over and said, hey, we were looking for this guy. And like, you're not going to hurt him, are you? No. We just want to talk to him. We'll give you your next 20 house payments. Really? I mean, you're not going to hurt him, right? Because he's my good friend, right? But I mean, you have it on you? Yeah. Okay. As long as you're not going to hurt him. No, I swear we're not going to hurt him. We just want to meet him. We want to talk to him. We want to talk to him about what he's teaching everybody. Okay, well, meet me over here. He's going to be eating dinner with us, and then I'll take you to this garden where he's going to be sleeping at night. That's what that whole album's about. Like, where am I at in that story? Well, if I were outside starving to death and somebody's like, you know his whereabouts? I absolutely do. Can we meet him? Yeah, but am I going to get in trouble? Because that's all he was worried about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that whole record's about. All of them have like a meaning bigger than me, bigger than anybody listening to it, because we don't understand it. We're doing the best we can.
Killer. Yeah. And I know it's unique, and I hope people can find any interest in developing that, that feeling you're getting from it, and that interest in drawing those parallels in whatever allegories or stories that are relevant to you, because it'll help you find yourself in that. So whatever, amen to anyone who is interested.
I love it. And I've said it before, I say it again. I'm not here, and I would never, ever try to convert or push or demand or anything. This is what worked. This is what changed my life. And I would be the dumbest person on the planet if I didn't share it. If I just kept it and was like, no, this is mine. One, I'm not doing what I'm called to do, and I'm not being a good steward. And I consider myself an ambassador. What an ambassador does is they go to a foreign country and they definitely don't go, hey, we're better than you, man. This place sucks. You know, we got all this cool stuff. You got nothing. We come over and we're like, how can we help? And they're like, why do you want to help? Because I love you. Why? You don't even know me. Ah, we're all the same. We all bleed red. What do you need? Why are you doing this? Because I want to. I need to. This is how we pick each other up. This is how we build each other up. What do you need? How can I help you? Can I pray for you? What do you need? Are you hungry? Can I clothe? Can I feed you? What do you need? And it throws people off. And people who hear Makita and even some 213 will feel something.
Hell yeah. And that's awesome. So same thing. I hope people can get from anyone that hears 213 or Makita can get what I got from it here. And first time I heard Vacancy, first time we used to listen to that. Fuck yeah, man. Just inspiration to forge your own path and live in that space where who gives a fuck if you fit into something else pre-existing. You make your own concoction. That's what being an artist is about, is you take take all the spices of all the diversity from the shit that makes you feel alive and make other people feel alive with what you do.
Love it, man. This was great. I appreciate you very much, man. You're very good at this too.
Same to you. Oh, and I appreciate that, dude. I love being able to talk about these bigger concepts and these life experiences. I love being able to relate on that. I appreciate your vulnerability, your honesty, and you making the time to talk with me about it.
Love it, man. Anytime. It was great. Dwight was saying how awesome you are. And I'm like, yeah, man, he's a super nice guy. I've only talked to him a couple times. He was really nice because I've been trying to get a hold of Matt for years. And you're the only one that Matt is Matt. I'll put it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's been talking a little more now though. I definitely message him online.
That's awesome.
I should be seeing him. I should be seeing him in person tomorrow, which is a rare occurrence. So.
Wow. Well, seven more weeks of winter.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Yeah, definitely. Message me, anything you want links to. I'll plug all those albums. I'll make sure everyone knows what you got going on. I'll post some clips from here. We could, on the Instagram and everything like that, but just thank you so much again for taking the time to do it. Fucking awesome to talk to you, Steve.
I appreciate you.
Hell yeah.
That was fun.
I'll end the recording now.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.